Well, it's Christmas morning, and you've woken up too early. It's still dark out. You didn't want to wake up this early. You wanted to sleep in. But here you are, tossing and turning, trying to go back to sleep. But after about 30 minutes or so, you realize it's not happening. And so you give up, and you give in to the morning, early as it is, and you head out to your kitchen to grab a cup of coffee or tea or hot chocolate or whatever it is that you look to help you face your morning. And as you're out there in the quiet of your house, you feel a little bit better about being there because it's a few quiet moments here that you don't always get during Christmas time. And so as you go out to your kitchen and you get your cup of coffee and then you come out to the living room, you realize someone's there. And normally you'd be afraid by this development because you know no one else in your family is awake. But you're not afraid this time. And you look and there's a man there. And it's funny that you think this, but you're pretty sure it's Jesus. I mean, you've never really seen him, because only through those pictures that you see in churches, and that's always highly Europeanized, so probably not how he looked at all. But there he is, in your living room. And you're not afraid, really. You feel him nearby, and you start asking lots of questions, starting with, Jesus, what are you doing in my living room? And then they start getting a little bit deeper as you go, and you ask him, why do bad things happen to good people? And you just throw question after question after at him. And strangely enough, he doesn't really answer any of those questions that have been burning in your minds for so long. And he pulls something out from behind his back. It's a stocking, one of the ones that you see during Christmas time, hung up on fireplaces. And you understand, though he uses no words, that he's offering this to you. This is his gift for you. Which is fascinating because you wonder, what would Jesus give me? What would Jesus give me? I mean, besides himself, obviously, that's the greatest gift. But what would he actually wrap up as a present for me? But you're also relieved as you see this stocking because for some strange reason this year, as you went through Christmas, you decided to get Jesus some presents. You've never done this before. But as you were out shopping for other people, the strange thought occurred that you should have something for him. And so you bought some things and you know, this is the big dilemma that we always face during Christmas. What do you get for the person who has everything? And so you think, what can I actually give Jesus? But as you go shopping, you pick out some unique objects. They weren't things that, you know, you would have necessarily thought of right off the bat. But as you see them, you think, you know, this really fits. This is something that I should give to Jesus. And so you pull the stocking off the fireplace, and you insist that Jesus opens it first. You're afraid that if you open his gift first, he might feel a little disappointed after he opens whatever you gave him. So this is your strategy. So you hand him the gift first, and he takes it, and he pulls out the first item. And it's this. It's this filthy shirt. Now, that's not what you put in the stocking. You would put in this white shirt. And you weren't sure why you got a white shirt, but it suggested something about purity or holiness. And it seems like something you should give Jesus. And here it is, it's all disheveled and muddy and torn and tattered, and you don't know what happened. Did your kid get into it? Did your cat? Did your dog? Some strange rat or mouse got in. You don't understand why it's like this, and you're embarrassed and humiliated. Because this is not just anyone you're giving gifts to, this is Jesus. And so what happened? And you want to say something, to offer some sort of excuse or apology, but nothing really comes, and you kind of just stammer there for a minute, and Jesus kind of looks at you. He doesn't seem angry per se. He doesn't really seem happy either. It's hard to read what he's thinking. But he takes that shirt and he folds it up neatly and lays it down next to him on the couch. And he reaches him back into the stocking and he pulls out the next item. And you can hear the crinkle in his hands. And as he pulls it out, it's a pile of broken glass. Now again, that's not what you put in there. You had bought this very unique antique mirror that was handcrafted. And again, you weren't sure what the symbolism was, something about reflecting God's glory, maybe your original purpose for being created, something like that. And you were very careful with it. Yet here it is, broken and shattered, and these shards. And Jesus, again, just looks at it for a little bit. And you're humiliated and embarrassed. And Jesus just sets the glass down carefully, considerately, so as not to get broken glass all over your carpet. Puts it down, that dirty shirt. And reaches back into the stocking. At this point, you're just nervous because you don't know what he's going to pull out next. Well, the next thing he pulls out is a pile of ash. And that you have no idea how it got there. You understand that there was a shirt there originally, And that there was a mirror there originally, and although you don't understand the condition they're in, they were there. You don't know why the ash is there. I mean, sure, you like burning stuff, and that's fun, but you didn't think that you burned anything and put in the stocking. It was over the fireplace, but that's mainly decorative, so that's probably not where it came from. So you don't know why it's there or what it means, but that's kind of embarrassing, too, that there's this big pile of ash, and it's all over the rest of the stocking, and Jesus takes it and kind of sprinkles it over the broken glass and the dirty shirt. Again, not saying anything. And you just thinking of something you can say to sort of make this awkward moment pass. But you can't think of anything. You've never been good in those kind of situations. So he reaches back in and he pulls out this potted thing. It was supposed to be a plant. Now you figured Jesus had all those parables about gardening and he liked to pray in gardens. So sure, he created everything anyway, so he doesn't need a plant. But it seemed like it would fit him, something that he'd be interested in. You know, he compared himself to a gardener at one point. So you give him a plant, and it was, when you put it in there, vibrant and growing and flowering, and now it's just dead and withered and brown. And sure, you've killed your fair number of plants over the years, but this one you were very careful with. You watered it, gave it the right amount of light, and you just put it in the stocking the night before. So you don't possibly understand how it can be dead like this so soon. That's surely the finest work you've ever done, killing a plant. Once again, your intentions have not worked out. What you wanted to do has not been accomplished. And that was the last thing you would put in there, just those three items. But Jesus reaches his hand back into that stocking. And you can hear that there's something else in there. You didn't put anything else in there, but there's something more. So at this point, you're just like, oh, great. What else could possibly be in there? And Jesus pulls out that, a very ancient spike or nail. And that'd be like the last thing you would want to give Jesus. You know, reminding him of so many painful memories of being on that cross. You wouldn't want to put that in there. But there it is. And at this point, you're utterly speechless because you don't know what you can possibly say. You're so disappointed. See, the really disappointing thing about this and how this gift exchange with Jesus has worked out without even seeing what he's given you yet is based on the idea that, you know, sometimes with people, you really didn't put your all into putting the gifts together. You just kind of got stuff to get it, to fulfill an obligation. But this time with Jesus, you really tried and you were really thoughtful and you put effort into it. And it still didn't work out. In a way, this was your best, the best you could do. And it failed so utterly and so completely. So you don't even look at Jesus, you don't look Jesus in the eye. You don't want to see how he looks. And you don't want to open that stocking that he's gotten for you. But you realize if you don't, it'll just make things worse. So as Jesus hands it out to you, you take it and kind of sheepishly start going through it. So the first thing you pull out is that shirt. Except this one's not dirty, it's not muddy, it's pure. It's like it's been bleached. Whiter than any shirt you've ever seen. And this is what you had wanted to give to Jesus, but you couldn't give. But this is what he's given to you. And, you've never been a big dress shirt kind of person, but just looking at that, you're like, wow, this is beautiful. And usually when someone gives you a shirt, it's not really an exciting gift, but there's something significant about this. Well, you reach back into that stocking, you pull out the next thing. And it's that mirror. Basically what you remember it looking like, except maybe even a little better. Like all the glass has been put together and put with no lines and no cracks. It's perfect. And you can look at your mirror and you can see yourself as you really are. It's a beautiful piece. If someone put a lot of time and crafting and putting that together, you can tell. You put it down, you reach for the next thing. It's a crown. Well, you never even tried to give Jesus a crown and you're not sure where this came from. And it's not any kind of Burger King crown or one of those fake plastic ones. This is a real thing. It has some weight to it. It's heavy. You can feel it in your hands. This is gold. Again, you didn't try to give Jesus this crown. You don't understand why it's there or where it came from. But you do understand a little bit of what Jesus is telling you by giving you this crown. Although you can't possibly, you have a hard time believing what you're thinking because it seems that somehow Jesus is suggesting to you that you're royalty. And you know that you're not. And you're pretty ordinary. And yet Jesus has given you this thing that makes you somehow stand out, makes you special, unique. And so you take that crown, and you know you probably won't wear it to the supermarket, but this thing holds a lot of meaning as you look at it. You keep looking at it for a few more silent moments until you reach in again. There's that plant, just like you never killed it. Bright green leaves. You think it's called a peace lily. It seems to have some meaning in it itself. It's exactly as it was supposed to be. It's flowering, it's vibrant, it's growing. It's beautiful. And you are pretty committed to never letting this thing see decay or brown leaves again. You commit that you're gonna water this thing and you're gonna take care of it because it's a beautiful plant. Well, there's one more thing in the stocking. You can hear it. And you reach in, and right away you know what it is. It kind of pricks you as you're pulling it out. It's that nail again. So that's the one thing that you gave to Jesus that is now being given back to you exactly as it was. You know, they say when you give gifts around Christmas time that you're not supposed to leave the price tag on what you bought. But you're pretty sure that's just what Jesus did. Because you're understanding that these gifts are far more than a crown and a plant and a shirt. It says something about your destiny, about your salvation. That Jesus has reached into your life and he's taken you with all your brokenness and every way you've fallen short and failed him. And he has somehow transformed it. And so you realize that the stocking that he's given you is not just a set of random gifts, it's a promise. It's an accomplishment of what he did, of what he started by sending his son. And it's what's going to happen to you, what he's going to make you into. Well, at this point, you start wondering, you know, how can I ever pay this back? How can I ever give to Jesus what he's given you? Because, you know, whenever Christmas rolls around, you don't want to be outgifted by someone. You want to make sure that whatever they give you, you sort of match, at least in value or thoughtfulness. But you're starting to wonder if you can ever not be outgifted by Jesus. And as you think about something that you're going to say, you look up and you realize that he's gone. He's not there. He never said any word as he was saying goodbye. But now you're thinking, what can I do to pay this back? What can I possibly give? And there's nothing, is there? But maybe there's something that you can do in response to this. So what can you possibly do in response of this gift that he's given?